This podcast is brought to you by Saturday Avenue Productions, honey. Hi, everybody. This is Pamela Roxanne, the baddest in the land, and I'm here with a iconic, wonderful, yo auntie and mine. This is Adina Howard, God's favorite. How are you?
I'm blessed and marinated in divine favor. How are you?
I love that. That is wonderful. Now, you are a singer, songwriter, and a chef. What was that?
I said, the only way to be.
Of course, of course. Dipped in luxury and blessings and all those things. And you look it. If you guys know Adina Howard from her iconic, I'm going to say it again, wonderful, standing the test of time song, Freak Like Me. But we're not going to talk about that because I'm sure you talk about that song all the time, right?
All the time.
Are you sick of it yet? Are you done with it?
You know, I do recognize that it's the song that introduced me to the world, and people are very curious and interested in, you know, the who, what, when, where, how, and why.
I definitely was, but I have researched you down to your follicles on your head, and I hear every single interviewer ask you about that same song.
I know. One of the things that I tell artists, I think it's very important for them to know, is how you debut is how people are going to see you, regardless of how much you've grown as a person, as an artist. Certainly, you're kind of cemented in that image, and so you have to be very, very careful. Had I known that, or two, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, I probably would have been like, okay, let's make sure we do the switch up on them, because at 21 versus 46 is like apples and oranges. You're not the same person.
True.
So yeah.
So,
and, you know, when they ask me about the song, it's like I'm stuck, and I'm like, no, I'm still a freak. However, there's so much more to me than that.
On that exact same album, that's the song that you're known for, but I'm actually known for one of your songs because I play it all the time. And it's not Freak Like Me. It's the duet with Michael Speaks.
Wow.
Yes.
You don't have to cry.
Oh my goodness. That is my song.
Nice.
Could you tell me?
I like that.
Could you tell me the creations of that? You don't have to cry.
You don't have to cry is a remake of Renee and Winbush's You Don't Have to Cry, so it's not an original, it's a remake, like I said, and we wanted to make sure that when we did the project, Do You Want to Write album, that it wasn't just a one-dimensional type album. We wanted to definitely show that there was another layer to me, that I am a woman who is very supportive and will have your back at the end of the day. I'm a Scorpio, so I'm loyal to a fault. And it's one of those that you just, you know, if you really think about who you are as a person, more often there's somebody you will want to be there for and dry their tears and say, "Look, I got you. Don't trip."
Yes, precisely. All that and more. I love that. I love the song. You guys sang your hearts out on that album. I swear.
Thank you. Had to show up and show out.
I see. And that's very Scorpio of you, by the way. And on that same CD, when you debuting your first initial reaction to the public, what do you feel like? Because I know there was a phenomenon. It was out there. It was in everybody's car, on the radio all the time. Was there any backlash due to the sexual nature of what you've been putting out?
Oh, absolutely. Especially in the 90s, because back then it wasn't heard of that women, specifically Black women, would sing music like that. That was blasphemy. You know, that was, you know, that you fast or whatever the case would be. So it was not something that was embraced by certain individuals, but at the end of the day, it's not one size fits all, and everybody doesn't like everything.
That's very true. That's very true. Do you remember any specific time where you were just like, wow, you just said that? Or were a moment where you're just like, I'm just the same as an Aretha Franklin or in someone like this. I'm a person who sings, not a sexual object type of deal.
I know I'm not Aretha Franklin. That was so not a secret.
Okay.
You know, for me, I really don't, what people thought about me, I've adopted, because I'll put it this way, I was bullied.
Okay.
And even as, you know, going into my young adult years, it was a situation where I always had individuals who just did not like me. The way I looked, the way I dressed, the way I was shaped, my you know, the shade of my skin, my hair, being, you know, just something somebody did not like. And I got to a space in my life where what you think about me is none of my business. You don't have to like everything that I do. You don't have to like everything. And I'm not looking for you to do so. And you don't like it, you don't like it. That has nothing to do with me. And so I just really, when people would say things, it would just really go in one ear and out the other, like a dog, like water off a duck's back. Just, you know, just keep it moving. If you concern yourself with what people have to say all the time, you won't ever be who you truly are. You'll be too busy trying to shape shift into what other people want you to be and who they want you to be. I don't have time for that. Didn't have time for it back then. I don't have time for it now. I'm too old for that.
I know, that's right. That's a very strong Black woman. I love that.
You have to be, and especially in this world that we live in, not just being a Black woman, but just being a person, period. But because I happen to be quote unquote Black, and I say it in quotes because we don't know what the next adjective is going to be for us in the next 10 years.
Okay.
But As a woman of color, as a woman, period, I think you have to be very strong spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and even financially. And we'll add sexually, because if you're not, you'll get ran over in this world. You won't be seen. And the one thing that, you know, you want to make sure is that people don't run over you. You have to take accountability and responsibility for how you, you know, put your narrative out there and make sure that your narrative, especially as a woman and a woman of color, that we're not one to play with. We're not pushovers. You can't just say what you want to say. You can't just do what you want to do. I'm not going to be disrespectful about it, but I'm going to check you, because last time I checked, my mother raised her children. I don't need another parent.
See, I know that's right. And that seems to be a running theme with artists who were in the 90s of being pushovers or not really knowing the industry or things like that. What do you think are some differences in being signed in the 90s versus being signed today?
The more things change, the more things stay the same.
Okay.
Nothing has really changed, really. The technology has changed. It has made it so that you're exposed more to the masses. But what I recognize is people still aren't doing their homework. People are still putting music before the business. It's called music business, but the business should always come before the music. And I'm noticing that even from the 90s up until 2020, you still have people who are clueless about what the music business is about and how to maneuver. There are some that have made their way through, you know, not so much being scathed, but for the most part, there are quite a few artists that still don't know that they need to get an entertainment attorney. There's still artists out there or people who want to be professional artists who have no clue about, you know, publishing and songwriter split and, you know, royalties and residuals and so on and so on and so on. So even though a lot has changed, a lot has still stayed the same.
Would you consider signing an artist yourself or taking on someone under your wing? No.
I have.
You said it like, I ain't changing no diapers.
No, right. In real life, like, seriously.
Okay.
I just, you know, for me, I have no problem with mentoring and helping guide. But to actually take on a person to want to do that, I have no desire for that. It's too much work. And I, you know, my mindset is to go elsewhere, you know, when it comes to my creativity. So music industry for me is, I've been there, I've done it, it's great, I'll help guide, but I have no desire to invest in someone like that.
Well, I will put this little bug in your ear because I would love to see it. I would love to see you do like a master class or something with just a one-time purchase where you can get a few tips and tricks on maybe singing lessons, on recording tips or things that you do in your work that we could learn and view.
I received that, and I will definitely, you know, it's noted, and I'll definitely, you know, consider that for sure, because it's something that, like I said, I don't have a problem with helping, you know, be a mentor or guide you along the way, but to just say, you know what, I'm going to take you on as an artist, and I'm going to help develop you, nah.
Okay, all right.
But I got you on that. I got you on that part.
Yeah, that, absolutely. One time only. You know, I, that's what's the highlight of that.
Okay.
Okay, so the new album, Resurrection, came out 2017, 2018, and it is biblical themed. And so was the album before that. Can you tell me a little bit about the biblical title of the album?
Resurrection or Second Coming?
Both. I would love both. What's the meaning?
I am a Scorpio. I'm a Scorpio, and I am one who I'm constantly growing and changing. And the Second Coming is, you know, coming back anew, being created anew. And I think that, I know for me, as I continue to go along my journey in this life, I'm constantly changing, and I'm shedding old skin like a snake. If anybody knows about what, specifically snakes, you know, they shed their skin. And that for me is what I do on the basis, is I shed my skin, created anew from experiences in my life, from loss, from love, from change in general. And the Second Coming, as well as Resurrection, are the different stages of where I was and who I was at the time when those songs or that project came out and where I was headed, if that makes any sense.
It does. It does. Are you going to keep the biblical theme running with the third album? Well, fourth album?
It's so interesting because I never really thought about it as biblical. I just look at it as a natural process, but I can see where people will definitely do that. I normally title my projects based on where I am at or the concept of it. I'm a 90s artist. So being a 90s artist, we had a lot of concept albums. It wasn't just put out a single here, put out a single there. Even though we would release singles, everything was cohesive. It all went together, and there was a storyline, and it all made sense. Honestly, at this moment, I don't know that I can say yes or no. I will have to see at the time where I am what that particular project is, should I choose to do another one.
Okay, and that's very true what you just said about the concept of that. Like, being a 90s artist yourself, you can hear it in your music, on your projects, that this is an entire project. This has been thought throughout. Do you get what I mean by that?
Absolutely.
Because
go ahead, darling, I'm listening.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. But a bunch of artists these days, they don't do that. And I was just wondering your take on that. I'm sorry.
No need to apologize. I have a tendency to overtalk people anyway, so don't worry about that. I just think that when it comes to where we are today in music, it's not necessary because people have such a short attention span and people are all over the place. And I don't know that people are really trying to tell their story in such a manner where it's just, you know, this song, this song, this song, this song, this song. I think they're just like, okay, it's almost like having attention deficit disorder. You know, 1 minute they might have a twerking song, and the next minute they might have a song about, you know, being found and loving on the Lord, which is a beautiful thing, because at the end of the day, we're all over the place. We're not just one type of person. But, you know, people release songs or do songs based on where they are or what they want to do in that moment, versus creating a whole project that you do over time and say, I want to tell my story. This is my musical diary. Now it's just, okay, let's just go ahead and smack them over the head with this. I want a twerking song. Okay, you know what? Let's do an inspirational song, because this is what we need right now. Okay, let's go over, let's do a club song. Let's dance, and let's, you know, it's just, it's all over the place. And it's what it is right now. I don't know that it's really much to explain, but if you look at how we are in life right now in this moment, it makes sense.
Very true. We're going to take a quick break real fast, and we're going to come back with more about the resurrection. I want to ask you all about your hometown and growing up in Grand Rapids. I want to ask you about advice you have for young artists out there. We're going to be right back. But y'all stay tuned. It's going to be good and juicy, and I'm already in awe. Hey, honey, you trying to start your business? Are you entrepreneur? You entrepreneur, honey? You entrepreneur? Get your tail over to the Instagram page of Saturday Avenue Art. We have something for you. We have amazing website graphics. We have logos. We have pricing charts. We have business cards. Anything that you want to convey to your customers with a thought behind it, we can make that thought an entire experience, honey. I'm talking colors, Wonderland, all those things. And we don't stop at your business. You can take us all home with you, too. We have wall art for your home. We have all types of wall decals and different statues and things. If you want to blow up your life with color, head on over to Saturday Avenue Art on Instagram. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm telling you. Look, my hands are up. I've done all I can do. Let's get into the show.
Okay.
All right, you guys, we are back on the Pamela Roxanne Show. I have Adina Howard still in the building. I'm still gagging. It's still iconic. It's still wonderful, majestic, magnetic, all those things. You still pumping with us today? Adina, you there? Yes, are you
still
good?
Absolutely.
Corona ain't got you.
I'm still here. I ain't going anywhere. Baby, look at here. I know better. And because I know better, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be all better than good. All right. You know what I'm saying? I think that when it comes to this whole Corona thing, which is very, very interesting, we have to be mindful. I tell people all the time, God protects fools and babies, not foolishness. And so if you're out there, and, you know, not protecting yourself and not being considerate of others, then at the end of the day, you might not be under that covering. And I know better, so I'm going to do better and keep my butt inside and practice social distancing and keep it moving.
I know that's right.
Too many things to do in this life.
I know that's right. Y'all heard it. Adina said it first. Don't go nowhere.
And so where do you have to go? If you don't have a job and you ain't making money right now, why are you even moving?
That's true.
Like,
very
it
true.
Don't make sense to me.
I seen something on the Facebook the other day, live with over a thousand people in the house. I said, oh God, people are really not listening and really wanting to do the opposite of whatever someone tells them.
You know, and they'll pay for it. You know, sad to say, a couple of the pastors who were being, you know, defiant and denying the whole situation, God got my back. And, like, again, God protects fools and babies, not foolishness. There's a reason why we have experts, we have professionals to share with us what to do and or not to do to keep us safe. God isn't going to sit there and just interject, because last time I checked, we had free will. So you have the will to go out there and get sick and be disobedient and defiant if you want to, but there's a consequence for your actions all the time. Cause and effect, that's something that human beings need to understand.
No, that's right. Y'all don't hear her, you know, preaching.
Sometimes a lesson is best learned experience. That's all I can say.
Very true. Very true. Now, back on your album, Resurrection, because I do want to get it the full, because it's very good. Even with the opening song with Tech N9ne, I love that. It's very light and just makes you feel good. I love the single Blasphemy. That song,
Thank you. You
go to it first on the album anyway, just because of the name of it, and then you hear it and it makes you feel good.
Good. I wanted that. Perfect.
So can you tell us about, like, the single, Blasphemy? How was that? How did that come about?
So, Gas and myself, we were in the studio, and we've always had these conversations before we would get started, or even afterwards, after the session is over. And I'm always thinking about how to create, you know, something that people will, you know, will listen to, or be able to create something that expresses my thought process and where I am in life. And I was, he and I were sitting in the studio, and I was just like, you know what? Get to write a song that talks about how disrespectful it is, how we're treating one another, how we're, you know, how we talk to one another, how we just are perpetuating this mentality of, you know, this, what the slave master did to our ancestors. It's just, it's gotten so embedded in our DNA that it's just, it just continues to perpetuate itself. And we have to dismantle the system. And dismantling the system starts with us. You have to be the change that you want to see.
Yes.
And for me, it was just like, this is just, it's blasphemous. It's disrespectful how we calling each other niggas and bitches and hoes, and just going way left and lacking respect for one another when our ancestors, you know, granted, we don't all come from the same tribe, but we understood unity because united, we're able to not just survive, we're able to thrive, but divided, they're able to conquer us, as you can see. And we need to get it together, because the only way to get up out of this hole that we've been put in is to work together, utilize one another, and focus on the strengths, not the weaknesses. Focus on the positives and not the negatives. Focus on the solution, because we already know what the problem is. So that's how blasphemy came about, because for me it was like, we have to get it together. You know, granted, every, you know, we said, what's up, king? What's up, queen? Well, you know, everybody ain't royalty. Since when? We all came from the divine creator. We're all royalty. There's a line in blasphemy where it says, you can call a king a slave if he doesn't know who he is. And that's where we are. We're calling each other niggas and bitches and hoes because we truly don't know who we are. And it's not just from the physical aspect of, you know, coming from, you know, ancestors who were, quote unquote, enslaved, but we come from the Most High. We're created by a divine being. So how do we see ourselves as lower than? And I understand when it comes to church, we're, quote unquote, sinners. That, to me, I just don't believe, because I don't embrace that. And I was raised Baptist and Pentecostal, but because I don't embrace that and I see the divine in most people, regardless of what the skin, the flesh may show me, I can see that spirit. And I my spirit recognizes it, and I like to acknowledge it. And also, one of the things that you have to understand, I believe, is when you, if your expectation of someone or something will be exactly what you get. So if you expect someone to be hood ratchet, ghetto, then more often than not, that's what is going to come at you. But if you change your perspective, the energy that may come your way will change. And that's where blasphemy came from and whatnot. I'm trying not to be so wordy and chatty, Cassie.
All right, you're all right. And this is what I mean with the masterclass. People would love to know these things, you know? There are definitely people who are interested.
I receive that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I want to know, are you a hometown hero in Grand Rapids? Do they pull out the red carpet when you drive in?
So, usually when I go home, I don't advertise. Now, if I'm doing a show and I'm performing, yes, absolutely, they do. But when I go home, I normally go home to visit family and friends. It's not to make an announcement that I'm in town and, hey, what's up? You know, I'm a very grounded person, very down to earth, people love to tell me. And so it's one of those things that I don't need the attention. I get it anyway, so I don't need it. But and go home if they know I'm coming in to go to work. Absolutely. And I just spoke with my dad the other day, and he was like, they love them some Adina out here, and Adina Howard out here. They miss you. I'm like, I understand, Daddy, but we all gonna stay put. When it's time to come out and play, I'm gonna come out and play. But until then, Grand Rapids is gonna have to miss me a little bit longer.
I know. Are you based in LA right now?
I'm based in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Okay, that's one. Are you performing out there before the corona?
First of all, who didn't do a whole lot before COVID-19, a.k.a. corona?
Right. Right.
This is new for everybody. For everyone that has been here prior to 1918 the bird flu or the Spanish flu.
Oh, yes.
This is all new for all of us. You know, this isn't something that has happened in our lifetime. I'm 46. My mom is 66. And she hasn't ever been through this. So this is something brand spanking new for all of us. And so before this happened, we were doing a whole lot. Now we got a new normal, whatever that's going to be.
True. This is getting very strange out there. I've seen a lot of things from mascot helmets to football helmets to, you know, people get strange.
But you know what? The world has been strange. This isn't anything new, honestly. The strange part of it isn't anything new. I think now people are just like, oh, let me go ahead and seek some more attention.
That as well.
we are living in an era where people are seeking attention, and they don't care what type of attention they get. They just want attention because they want to be seen.
I know. And I know you say that, but I'm about to give you this attention now, because I want to talk about the great Adina Howard. Now, you are a 90s artist did you ever perform at Freaknik?
I did.
And could you tell me anything about, I would love to know anything.
You know what? It's one of those, you must be present to win, because it really trying to explain it to you is not going to do it justice. But I will say that people are very sexually liberated during Freaknik, especially back when we were doing it in the mid-90s. Sexually liberated, just no judgment, loose, having fun. We were heathens.
Gotcha. Come on with it.
We were heathens. You can talk about the biblical folk, the church folk wanting to come and put some holy water on us. Baby, I'm telling you, we were all kind of sinful at Freaknik. Didn't care, because no one was judging. It was fun, unadulterated. And you won't ever be able to get that era back.
True that. I wish that I could have went. It seems like a ball of fun.
Oh man, people were just the shenanigans was real. People were trifling and out of control.
Do you have a standout memory?
No, because there was so many of them. I have so many memories, it's ridiculous. Like, trying to pull one out is going to be tough, because I'm one of those individuals that I've recognized over time. I don't hold on to a lot of memories when it comes to what's happened in my career, or just in the past in general. People, I have family and friends who remember more than I do, and I'm so grateful they do, because they can tell the story better than I can.
Oh, wow.
I'm one of those people, I was present to win, and once I won, I was on to win something else. I just kept it moving. You know, I really didn't have time either to reminisce or just kind of think about what just happened in that moment, because life was moving so fast for me. It was literally bouncing from one place to the next, to the next, to the next. If I wasn't on the bus, I was on a plane, you know, or in a vehicle, just constantly moving. So a lot of it, I was present to win and able to absorb it, but to remember it verbatim or just have certain, you know, all I could tell you is overall a blanket situation, we were out of control.
Okay. I believe it. I believe it. You had the 90s hairdo of an out of control young lady. And hey. Yeah, yes, all of that. So do you have any advice off the top of your head for anybody who wants to be Adina Howard Jr.?
First of all, there will never be another Adina Howard. So
I know that's me, right.
Or Jr. Even if I had a child and named her Adina Howard Jr., that's it couldn't be me. Yeah, I am who I am in all of my uniqueness, and that's the beautiful thing about, you know, being human. We are unique. God made us individuals. So to try to be like someone else is not doing yourself justice at all. I understand, oh, I want to be a little more comfortable in my own skin. You know, I want to be a little more sexy, or I want to be, you know, I don't want to be as provocative, or whatever it is that you want to do based on looking at Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Rihanna, Nicki, whomever. You cannot be them. You won't ever be them. And if there is, to me, in my mind, if there is someone out there trying to make you a mega stallion or someone else out there like that, I wouldn't gravitate to them, because as an artist, as a creator, you will not be happy. And if you are truly, genuinely a creative person and artistic in that regard, you don't want to be like anybody else. You don't want to be like me. You don't want to be like Jill Scott. You don't want to be like Erykah Badu. Want to do you and be you in all of your glory, because if it were meant for you to be somebody else, you would have been that person.
Oh, that's right. Say that. That's the best advice we've had on the show thus far. I promise. There are a lot of young kids who grow up and want to be the next Beyonce. And I use that in my example, but you're absolutely right that you shouldn't want to be the next Beyonce. You should be the Regina or the Sheila that you are meant to be.
Exactly. Exactly. And honestly, I'm looking at Beyonce and saying, ooh, I want. But I will say this. If you want anything from her or Tiana Taylor or any of these women out here working, or any of these men out here working, want their work ethic. Want that. Want to be like that. Want to be someone who shows up and shows out when it comes to working, taking what you do seriously, but not too serious to the point where you're stifling your creativity. So look at them and say, what made them successful? What made them get to the next level? And if you really, really pay attention to it, it's their work ethic, it's their commitment, their drive, their resilience. Because at the end of the day, you're going to hear a lot of no's. You're going to hear, hell no, you have no talent, you can't sing, you can't rap, you can't dance, you can't produce, you can't write. There's going to be a whole lot of people out there telling you what you can't do, what talent you don't have. But if you listen to that and say, you know what, let me take this as constructive feedback. And I was talking to someone the other day, a best friend of mine, he and I were talking. The word constructive means to build. You know, construct. So build something, build off, based off of that work ethic. You know, again, like I said, you're going to be met with a lot of adversity, a lot of people just looking at you like, whatever, I know somebody who's better. But you have to say, you know what, they may be better, but they're not as good as me. You know,
I know, so that's just right.
Know that those things, those elements are more important than trying to look like and be like someone else.
Very, very true. Now, before we get out of here, I do want to ask you, what did you think about your Unsung on TV One?
What did y'all think about it? For me, I've told the story so many times, I could care less. I've lived it. So, for me, it's, I don't know what to think about it.
I loved it.
Sound crazy, but did you?
I did.
That's all that matters.
Very true. Very true. But, you know, some people...
How did you like it?
I did like it. And I liked it because it was very... I liked how everyone talked about you in truth. Because a lot of times people get on there and they exaggerate or they lie. No, you really were the hottest out. You were doing this new funky R&B sexual thing that no one else was really doing, or you had no peers in that genre, I feel.
That's right. I didn't have, and it's so interesting. I didn't have any peers back then, and my only peers actually were not even in my genre, with, like, you know, Little Kim and Foxy Brown at the time. But there weren't any R&B female singers, solo artists that did what I did.
And
that
you were nice. And you were a label mate with Missy Elliott, I believe, correct?
Yes.
It's, could you tell me anything about working with Missy Elliott?
She's dope. Ah. She's about her business.
Okay.
And that woman is ridiculous just as a creative. Even now watching her in 2020, just she's an amazing creative. Like, her, I don't know where she is on the spectrum of being with her elevation and her energy, but it's like she's so tuned in and she just pulls from the universe and just creates magic. And to work with her and to have the opportunity to have her pull out of me what I didn't know that I had, in addition to just be able to work with her, was like, look, I worked with one of the best. I can put that down on my checklist.
You sure did.
One of the best, and she's definitely one.
Yes, she is phenomenal, and you are phenomenal as well. And
thank you so much.
No problem. And I really do want to thank you for being on the show today. We're running out of time, but everything was so juicy, I had to keep it going.
And I talked a lot, too.
It's okay. That's wonderful.
You know, you probably didn't get to half of your questions.
No, it's all right. You know what? We'll invite you back when the next album comes out. And you can come back and talk all about it. Oh, you see, there we go. And it's a date. Now, you stay on the line. I'm going to kick these people out like Martin. And we'll talk more. Okay. All right. Thank you guys for listening today. I told you it was going to be good. I told you it was going to be juicy. Make sure that you follow, like, and subscribe this episode. And there will be links to all of Adina Howard's work in the bottom, in the description of wherever you're listening. It'll be the same links. Make sure you click away, subscribe, and go listen and jam to Adina. Thank you again, Adina. Stay on the line. And I will talk to y'all next week.
Love, light, and blessings, everyone.
Yes.